for VBS for next year. I think we'll go ahead and recruit for next year. See how, See how much fun that was? Woo! I hope you're ready. That was great. And truly, had you been here, and we were doing VBS 6-7 years ago, and as I said, we were following sort of a curriculum, but this compared to that is so much better. And that is thanks to everybody, but it is very much thank you, Pastor Drew and Lupe and Shirley and all those who are carrying the heavy load. I will say my one comment tomorrow night is going to be this. Some were carrying the weight of a feather this week, like me and many of us, like, this is too easy. Some were maybe carrying the weight of a brick, let's say. But some, I think, were carrying, you know, 2 25-pound dumbbells, and we got to even things out. So some of us who are volunteering were like, give us more to do. Thank you again, Pastor Drew, Lupe, and Shirley, for carrying the bulk of the load, and the musicians. The musicians, that's also this massive improvement. Just an inside scoop. We used to just use whatever music, was it Lifeway? Not to mention any names. I think we'd use whatever music Lifeway came out with, and there were times we'd look at it and go, we're not singing that. We're not singing that song. So praise the Lord. Well, it's time to worship the Lord in word, so please take your Bibles and open them with me to John 8. We will begin in verse 12, which is our memory verse for the month, but we're going to start into verses 13 to 20. Now, let me just tell you as you open there, this is a hard passage, all right? So I'm going to try to slow down. As many of you know, if you've heard me preach for any length of time, I tend to preach rather fast. I'm going to try really hard to slow down because I don't want to lose you on this. As you turn there, also, I want to see, do any of you remember the words of this oldie but goodie? It is a secular song, but I think some of you know it. I'm not going to sing it. You don't tug on Superman's cape. How many know it already? Don't tug on Superman. Okay. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull the mask off that old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim. By the end of the song, it's you don't mess around with Slim, because Slim turned out to be tougher than Jim, if you remember the song. Well, okay, simple little secular song, but with a lesson that has some truth to life. There are certain things you just don't do, and certain people you just don't mess with if you value your life. Never is that truer than in the case of Jesus Christ. You shouldn't mess with Jesus. And we're going to see in this text we begin studying today, the Pharisees start messing with Jesus, and he exposes them. Our text is John 8. We'll start in verse 12, John 8, 12 to 20. Title of the message this morning, Attack the Light, Get Exposed. Take a look. We'll begin at verse 12. This is the Word of God. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Now they are essentially calling him a liar. Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I came from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Now let's begin with the good news, the gospel, which is given to us in verse 12. And we have a visitor here today, and I had a few minutes with him, and I said, could I share the gospel with you? And I just shared with him John 8, 12. This is a great gospel verse. It's the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus is the light for this world. What does that mean? We live in a world of darkness. We are surrounded by evil. There are deceivers, there are liars, there are fornicators and idolaters in this world we live in, and we are no better than they. All of us by nature have been born in darkness. And this world desperately needs someone who is true, someone who is righteous, someone who is honest, someone who is not immoral, someone who could deliver us out of this present darkness and into God's marvelous light. Jesus Christ is the light for this dark world. And that's just the fact about Jesus, but notice the good news that follows. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What that means is whoever listens to Jesus Christ and what he says rather than listening to this world, whoever follows what Jesus says rather than following the world, whoever trusts what Jesus says rather than trusting the world, that person will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That is, they will have Christ, who is the source of truth and wisdom and insight and discernment. And that is the truth that leads us into eternal life. Now, that's the gospel in a nutshell. I've explained it more in the past. I'm not going to go any further into that verse today. But let me say that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that's good news to you. You hear that, you recite it, and you like it. But the darkness hates the light, right? And this world, by and large, does not want to hear the gospel. Jesus said in John 3:20, everyone who practices evil hates the light. And here we see it on display in this conversation between Jesus Christ and the Pharisees. Jesus is the light. He just said so in John 8:12. The Pharisees respond by hating the light, and they try to discredit Jesus Christ. These were men who had a facade of religion, but not true faith. How many people are there like that in the world today? They have a facade of religion. They look and they may even sound like they are godly people. But the truth is, if you shine the light on their sin, they hate it. Well, in this case, the Pharisees try to attack Jesus Christ and they get exposed. They attack in verse 13. That's going to be the first point, the attack of the self-righteous against Jesus. And then Jesus responds with more light in verses 14 and following, exposing them as ignorant, unqualified, and fake. Ouch. But you know what? Jesus Christ does this in love for their own good and for the good of everyone who was listening in the temple that day. And the overarching truth that we see on display here is this: attack the light, get exposed. If you are the kind of person who is not going to side with Jesus Christ and the truth, then sooner or later you are going to be exposed for who and what you are. You should not think that you can hide from Jesus Christ. You know what the application is, right? Be on the side of light. Be on the side of Jesus Christ. Take a side in the spiritual battle that is raging in this world. Side with Jesus Christ and truth. Don't side against him, or you will be exposed. Now, there's a lot more here than that, and it's not easy to follow. So put your thinking caps on, all right? Be ready to study. Be ready to be diligent. And we'll look first at the attack in verse 13 and then at the answer in verses 14 and following. Now, notice first the attack on Jesus Christ and the light on his words by the Pharisees in verse 13. Take a look. The Pharisees therefore said to him, "You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true." Now, the setting, remember, here is the temple in Jerusalem. Jesus had been teaching at the Feast of Booths for days. At the end of that feast, many went to their own homes. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, came back early the next morning, verse 2, and continued to teach the people. And it says, and all the people gathered to him. These people were hungry for the light. They were hungry for truth. They wanted to learn. But the Pharisees were there. They hated Christ. They hated the light. And so here they go on the attack. Now, question for you. When they say in verse 13, "You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true." Where are they getting that? Does anyone know where they're getting that? Everybody's afraid to say because they don't want to be wrong. Do you think they are getting that from something Moses said? I want to ask for a show of hands. They are not. They are getting that from something Jesus said. And they are taking Jesus' exact words and they are trying to use them against him. Now here, follow me. I want you to keep a hand here, keep a finger here, and I want you to turn back to John 5:31. We are going to deal with what is probably the most clear so-called contradiction in all of Scripture. How many of you ever heard the attack on the Bible saying, yeah, but there's so many contradictions. You heard this before? Okay. Well, of course, you can always hand them a Bible and say, show me one. That's a good way to expose them. But you know what? If you want to be really exposing them, bring them to this one. John 5:31 and John 8:13 and 14. Because this is probably the most clear apparent contradiction in all the Scripture, and we're going to resolve it today. Now look at John 5:31. If I bear witness of myself, what's it say? It's not true. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Look at John 8:13. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. And you know what? I think they're thinking, ha-ha, we got him. We got him in his own words. Last time he was at a feast, we heard him say, and somebody must have wrote it down, I think. And we even have it right here because they were always trying to catch Jesus in his words. And they heard him say, probably someone wrote it down, Jesus said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness isn't true. And they go, ha-ha. You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Ugh. And you know what they're thinking? They're thinking, checkmate. And we should say, check again, mate. I don't think so. You know, to do evil is like sport to a fool, says Proverbs 8:23. But a man of understanding has wisdom. We want to be people of understanding. Let's have wisdom and let's really look at what Jesus was saying in 5:31 and what is happening in 8:13. So turn back to 5:31 and let's understand what Jesus is saying. Well, first, let me ask you this. Do you think, listen, look at the words again, John 5:31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Do you think Jesus is saying this? You know, I know you want to catch me in my words. So if I ever bear witness of myself, well, then in that case, you got me. In that case, then, my witness isn't true. So just keep listening. And if you ever hear me bear witness of myself, then my witness isn't true. You think Jesus is saying anything remotely like that? No. No, Jesus is not setting some scenario that they might be able to catch him in a lie. No, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Everything he says is true, even if no one agrees with it. Okay? Of course, Jesus is not saying that. Instead, what he is saying is, and it really, again, it is helpful to know the original languages, it's helpful to look at them, but you can get this even without the original language, but Jesus is saying this. If I alone am bearing witness of myself, then my witness is not true, but I am not alone in bearing witness. Okay? Now, in this context here, the Jews wanted to kill him because he had made himself equal with God. Is Jesus equal with God? Yes, he is. And Jesus is so equal with God, and this is a great way to say it. You should say it this way to the Jehovah's Witnesses, who are liars and deceivers and false teachers, if you didn't know, dressed in nice clothing, okay? With a nice smile and nice words to say, but they are liars and they are deceivers and they are angels of Satan. You should say to them, Jesus Christ is so equal with God that according to John 5:23, all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father, and whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Now, Jesus Christ has given this long explanation of how he is equal with the Father from John 5:19 all the way down to 30. And then in 31, he says, if I am bearing witness of myself, my witness isn't true. In other words, hey, if I'm the only one who says that I'm equal with God, then my witness isn't true. But I am not the only one who says that I'm equal with God. And then Jesus proceeds to call forth witness after witness after witness after witness after witness, five witnesses who bear the same testimony that Jesus Christ is equal with God. He calls forth the witness of John the Baptist, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Scriptures, and Moses himself. And his works. maybe six other witnesses. Along with Jesus, that'd be seven witnesses to the fact that Jesus Christ is equal with God. Okay? So in this context, what he's saying is, if I alone am bearing witness of myself that I am equal with God, then my witness is not true. But I am not the only one bearing witness of myself that I am equal with God. My witness is true. And remember why Jesus said this, one of my favorite verses in all of our studies so far. It's at the end of, where do we find it? It's in John 5, 534b. I am saying these things that you may be saved. Jesus Christ is striving for the salvation of Jews who wanted to kill him. Let there be a lesson in that, beloved. This is how you love even your enemies. Somebody brings up some attack on Christians, the Bible, the church, or whatever, then in love for them, tell the truth that exposes their error. That is head on, right? We've talked about it many times. Jesus is applying Proverbs 26, 4 and 5, where he says, you don't answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. You answer a fool as his folly deserves, so that he might not be wise in his own eyes. What that means is, you give the rod of truth. Right, the rod of correction. You speak the truth that corrects their error. All right, that was a little fast because that was review, but now back to John 8:13. Now I got to slow down here. Listen, the Jews think they've got him. They took his words, and you can see how it might have sounded like Jesus said, if I ever bear witness of myself, then my witness isn't true. That's not what he said. But you can see how they'd get that, right? They didn't take time to ask Jesus, hey, what do you mean by this? There's another proverb, of course, that says, the fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. They never took delight in understanding. You don't see them asking Jesus, hey, would you help me understand that? I want to understand you. No, not at all. So here, they twist his words in verse 13, and they make it sound like Jesus was saying that if he ever bears witness of himself, then his witness isn't true. Watch what Jesus does. We've seen the attack, okay? Actually, we got to stop here for a second on the attack because there's too much truth and application to pass by. We learn from this the truth that Jesus said, or we see here the truth that Jesus said back in John 3, verse 20, that those who practice evil hate the light. And you need to know that that is true not just of unbelievers, but of believers. Hear me out. For sure, unbelievers who practice evil hate the light. So naturally, they don't want to hear the gospel. The gospel exposes unbelievers as wrong, as in sin, as in needing a savior, as in headed for judgment, etc. So it is not, and for us too, who became believers later in life, it was not pleasant for us to hear the gospel. We had to admit that we were sinners. We had to admit that we were wrong for all those 27 years in my case. Not a comfortable thing to do. And only by the grace of God are we saved. By the grace of God, our eyes were opened. Okay? But also, believers, when believers fall into sin, do you think they want to have you come to their house and tell them the truth they need to hear? No. And many of you have been involved in biblical counseling where you have to go to someone's house and they're involved in error or sin of some kind and you have to bring the truth to bear on that situation. Those who practice evil hate the light. I'm telling you, it's true, and we see it here. The thing to do is keep speaking the truth in love. Now, Jesus takes what they said, and he runs with it, and watch what he says. Look at Jesus' response, verse 14. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. Stop there. Now, turn back to 531, okay? Because what I want you to see is the most clear apparent contradiction in the Bible. It's Jesus himself looks like he's contradicting himself. John 5:31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. John 8:14, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. You can literally take the Greek of both of those lines, and Jesus uses the exact same words in both cases. It sounds like in one place he says one thing, and another place he says another thing. Now let's resolve it, okay? I've already explained that in the first case, Jesus was not saying, well, if I ever bear witness of myself, then my witness isn't true, but But now they've taken it that way, so let me ask you this. What if Jesus ever does bear witness of himself? Is his witness still true? Yeah. Not what he said in 531, but you know what? That's how they took it. So Jesus says, well, you know what? Even if I do bear witness of myself, my witness is true. Why is that true? Because of who he is and where he came from. Right? Verse 14, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I knew where I came from and where I'm going. But you don't know where I came from and where I'm going. Let me ask you this. Do you think God can say something with no one else corroborating it as a witness and it's still true? Absolutely. God doesn't need you and he doesn't need me to corroborate his truth. God is, now listen closely, God is not subject to the law of Moses. True? God wrote the law of Moses. He doesn't need two or three witnesses to corroborate testimony. And of course, throughout Scripture, God says many things concerning himself. And he doesn't need anyone else to say it. Now, of course, God has many witnesses, but he doesn't need them. So all Jesus is saying here is, again, hypothetical, it's a contrary to fact condition. Even if I do bear witness of myself. Stop. So is he bearing witness of himself? No, he's not. Look down at verse 18. He'll address it. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is never ever merely bearing witness of himself. Okay? He's never doing that. But he's simply saying, even if he did, it's still true. Because he's the ultimate authority in the universe. He knows where he came from and where he's headed. Look at verse 14. So when Jesus says, I know where I came from and where I am going, where is that? You might say heaven. That would be true. What else would be true? The Father. Good. Somebody said the Father. Jesus again and again and again said, I have come from the Father and I'm going back to the Father. Now, he did not merely mean that he's an errand boy running an errand for dad. He came from the closest fellowship that there is in the universe with God the Father, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. From the start of this gospel, the apostle is making clear that Jesus Christ is eternal God, and yet he is a distinct person all his own. Equal with God, but a distinct person, okay? How many people in this world deny the Trinity? Many. And they will try to use the same approach of the Pharisees. Well, is God a man? No. Was Jesus a man? Yes. Ha ha! Gotcha! Jesus can't be God. You just said God isn't a man, but Jesus is a man. No. Because we don't lean on our own understanding. We have departed from that evil. We trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. And the God of heaven has made clear in his Son, Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is God and so is God the Father. Okay? Now, Jesus is answering. He answers with more truth. The truth is that even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true because I know where I came from and where I'm going. I came from beside the Father. That's right. He's the Alpha and Omega. I came from beside the Father. I came from beside the Father to reveal him to mankind. And so therefore, Jesus Christ can say anything he wants, and even if he was the only one saying it, he would still be true. And yet, Jesus Christ never did testify on his own, because he only said what the Father gave him to say, and the Father bears witness with him of everything he says. Let me tell you, you never want to be on the wrong side of Jesus Christ, because he's never wrong. This applies to everything in your life. You don't... I'll start with the guys, okay? Guys, you never want to be not loving your wife sacrificially. You never want to be not living with your wife in an understanding way. Why? Because to live with your wife in an understanding way is to be on the side of Jesus Christ. And to not live with your wife in an understanding way is to be against him. Wives, you don't ever want to be not submissive towards your husband. You don't ever want to be not respecting your husband. Why? Because to respect your husband and to be submissive towards your husband is to be on the side of Jesus Christ. And to not do that is to be against Christ. Fathers, you don't ever want to be not raising your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Why? Because to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord is to be on the side of Jesus Christ, on the side of light. It's to be following Him and to have the light of life. And to be not raising your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord is to be against the light that God has given. Now, obviously, I could just go through all these commandments of the New Testament that were given. I'll just give you another one. You don't ever want to be one who's not loving the brethren. Right? We talked about that this morning. Let love of the brethren continue. You don't want to be somebody who's not loving the brethren. That means loving the people in the church. That means loving all the individuals in the church. Why? Because to love the brethren in the church is to be on the side of Jesus Christ and on the side of light. But to not be loving your sister in Christ, to not be loving your brother in Christ, that's to be against Jesus Christ. I will say to you, if you're here today and there's some brother or sister in this church that you're not loving, get that right. Reconcile. Pursue peace. Get that right before you leave your offering at the altar. Go and be reconciled with your brothers. Does it sound familiar? Words of Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount? Listen, Jesus Christ is serious. His word is serious. These Pharisees thought that they could go on the attack against Christ, and Jesus exposes them as ignorant, sinful, and fake. Look what Jesus says. Verse 14, this is all part of his answer. Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you, and now Jesus goes on the counteroffensive, the counterattack. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You know what Pharisees, I think, hated the most to be called? Ignorant. These were the men, these are the PhDs. These are the guys with a doctorate. Let me just tell you something else that kind of came out of study and reflection and ministry this week. If you have some weakness, or if somebody is stronger or better than you, you're better off admitting that. There is actually a young lady in this church who's learning Greek. And the way that gal learns Greek, she's probably going to know more Greek than me before long, because she just is attacking it. She says, you know, the Greek word for disciple is mathetes. And I go, yes, it is. What's the Greek word for make a disciple? I got her on that one. But you know what? It won't be long. And some of you have kids that are in school and they know more math than you do, right? Now you got two choices. You could try to make it like they don't know more math than you do, but it probably won't be true, right? I mean, the day is going to come when, Dad, can you help me work out this differential equation? No, I can't. There was a time maybe, but not anymore. You're better off just admitting what you don't know, okay? The Pharisees would have done well here to say, Jesus, what do you mean that you are the light for this world? What does it mean that whoever follows you will not walk in darkness but have the light of life? Instead, they went on the offensive, and Jesus' first counteroffensive is to expose their ignorance. And it's a culpable ignorance. There's a such thing as innocent ignorance. Hey, we don't expect children to know things that they shouldn't know. These Pharisees are guilty before God of their ignorance, because how many times has Jesus said, I came from the Father, I'm returning to the Father. Read John 6 over and over and over again. In the presence of the Pharisees, Jesus said he came from the Father, he's going back to the Father. Even Nicodemus had said on behalf of all the Pharisees, we know where you are from. We know that you are a man sent from God. Jesus is more than that, and here he exposes them. You do not know where I am from and where I am going. Take this truth to heart, beloved. No matter what Jesus Christ says, it's true. No matter what Jesus Christ commands, it's right. No matter what Jesus Christ promises, it's going to happen. Because Jesus Christ is the light for this world. And just as with God, there is no darkness in Him. You do not want to be one who attacks the light or who stands against the light. You want to be on the side of light and on the side of Jesus Christ. One final thing, and we'll continue this next time. I want you to notice down verse 17, Jesus says, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. We'll get into that next week. I am the one who is bearing witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. The point there is that if the testimony of two men is true, how much more the testimony of God the Father and God the Son. So listen, beloved. What we have here in this book is the testimony of Jesus Christ concerning himself and the testimony of God the Father concerning him. And the testimony is this. We live in a world that's filled with darkness. And we who now believe in Jesus Christ were once part of that darkness. We have been called out of that darkness into his marvelous light with one purpose, to proclaim. Right? You are a chosen people, a royal generation, that you might proclaim the praises, the excellencies, all the wonderful things of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, proclaim by your life. Right? People would rather see a sermon than hear one. Doc reminds me of that all the time, and I say, yeah, but they need to hear one. People would rather see a sermon than hear one. Let them see a sermon, but let them hear it too. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God or word of Christ. Be one who proclaims, and rejoice if you are in Jesus Christ, if you are on the side of light and the side of truth. Praise God, you are no longer in the darkness. You'll never walk in darkness again because you have with you every day by your side and dwelling within you the light of this world. But if you're here today and you don't know Christ, or if in any area of your life you are against Christ, today is a day for you to pray to God and ask for forgiveness. If you've never been reconciled to God, today is a day for you to say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's a day for you to come to the light. It's a day for you to be reconciled to God. Or if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, but the truth is, you're living in sin. You're sinning with your girlfriend. You're sinning with your boyfriend. You're sinning against your parents. You're sinning against your kids. You're sinning against the church. If you are in any way involved in sin, this is a day to come to the light. Confess your sin. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And finally, never attack the light. Don't ever go on the attack against God, Jesus, the Bible, the church, a fellow Christian. You will be on the wrong side, and you will be exposed for who you are and for what you're doing. More next time. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word here. We thank you for Jesus Christ, the light of this world. And we pray that you would help us to understand all that he says, of which some things are hard to understand, but the foolish and the ignorant twist those things to their own destruction. Father, let us never be twisters of your word in this place, but let us be those who always side with Jesus Christ and with truth. We pray it in his name. Amen.